This is Craig Brown, and welcome to Passages. Passages is a space to explore Bible passages used for preaching, reflection, and prayer. My hope is that Passages will shine a unique light on text used for preaching at the First Free Methodist Church of Seattle, or for anyone looking to dive deeper into the Bible. Today's passage is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. It's the basis for the sermon at First Free Methodist Church on March 10, 2024. It's part of our series called Practice Makes Possible, as we discover how to encounter Jesus through holy actions. So let's hear these few verses from the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching on fasting, beginning at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Now, whenever you fast, do not make a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they distort their face so that they will be noticed by people when they are fasting. Truly I say to you that they have the reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. These few verses from Matthew chapter 6 on fasting are part of a larger teaching about piety in Matthew chapter 6, which is also part of the larger context of the Sermon on the Mount itself. So today's passage is relatively short, and it's the final part of a triad or three parts of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount on these matters related to piety. The first act of piety Jesus spoke about was almsgiving, and that's the practice of giving money to the poor, and the way that would happen, oftentimes in very public and ostentatious sorts of ways. And Jesus tells his followers to not give alms in such a manner, but to do it in secret. And this is where we hear the proverb that's quoted by Jesus, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus then goes on and begins to teach about prayer and how the hypocrites like to stand in the middle of the streets and on the corners and be seen for their prayers and their eloquent words. And Jesus said, this isn't the way it's supposed to be with you. You should pray in private and in secret. And so what's in common in all three of these teachings about piety are certain things. There's certain structure that's the same, whether we're talking about almsgiving first, whether we're talking about prayer second, or whether we're talking about fasting third. The structure is similar. Don't do as the hypocrites do, but instead do this. Now, there's a similar theme that runs through all the teachings as well. There is this idea of secrecy and deception that's even advised by Jesus here. So we need to read these texts carefully, and especially this one with care. So when we begin looking at verse 16, we see the words at the opening in of that verse. Now, whenever you fast. These words are important for us to fix on because this is the only teaching about fasting in the entire New Testament. There are other texts that mention fasting. Jesus, even in the Gospels, talks about the casting out of a demon, that this certain type of demon only comes out with prayer and fasting. There are other moments where we hear about the Christian leadership fasting in the book of Acts, but this is really the only direct teaching that there is in the New Testament about fasting itself. So the assumption here at the beginning of verse 16 is that whenever you fast, it's not a matter of if you should fast or should you fast, it's whenever you fast. So there's an assumption in the Sermon on the Mount that is being made that the followers of Jesus will be engaged in some kind of fasting. Now, typically for the Jewish community in Jesus' day and even today, the only prescribed season for fasting is at the high holidays. And this is the high holidays is the combination of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, combined with the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. And during this season, there is a time for fasting, especially related to Yom Kippur. Now, the Pharisees in Jesus' day had different rules or more amplified rules for fasting. Not only did they fast during these high holidays, but they would also fast on Mondays and on Thursdays. And on these 2 days, they would refrain from food, but not drink. So they could have as much water or wine or other beverage that they would want, but they would not eat food on those days. And so when we're reading this passage in the New Testament and really throughout the Bible, when it refers to fasting, it specifically is making mention of food. And oftentimes it includes water as well. You might be thinking of Jesus's temptation in the wilderness in the early parts of the Gospels when he fasted and had no water. So sometimes fasting is food, sometimes it's food and water, but rarely in the Bible is it anything other than that. So the hypocrites that Jesus is speaking about here and the ones he has in mind are specifically the Pharisees. He doesn't name them outright, but by his description of the behavior, he's hoping that the people that are gathered infer easily that he's speaking about the Pharisees. Now, he calls them in verse 16, hypocrites. And so hypocrite is an important Greek word for us to focus on, even though Jesus didn't speak the sermon in Greek. He spoke it in Aramaic. So he spoke it in Aramaic, but it's written in Greek. And so that word hypocrite is referring to the mask that actors would use in Greek drama. And you might be familiar with oftentimes the iconic representation of the acting guild today with those two faces of drama and comedy represented in different masks. That's based on the Greek world, where dramas would be portrayed by individuals who wouldn't necessarily costume as much as they would wear a certain kind of mask. So it was like a face upon their face is what they would wear. And so what that meant is that you had the word hypocrite is a combination of two words. Hypo means upon, and the other root is what we pronounce kritis, is meaning face. So it literally means a face upon a face, or being two-faced, if you will. So being a hypocrite, we often describe it in terms of behavior. I say one thing, I do another. The reality of what is being said here in the context to some degree is that don't be two-faced like the hypocrites are, that they are one thing, but they try to portray another thing. And so the meaning of that word hypocrite is incredibly important for us to focus on. It helps us understand what Jesus is trying to drive home in this story. So the hypocrites that he's got in mind here are the Pharisees. And he talks about what they do and in terms of telling his followers what they're not to do. So here's what the hypocrites do that you shouldn't do. The first is you make a gloomy face. And so the translators of the New American Standard Bible that I have written say gloomy. It just means a cast down face, a face of sadness, despair, despondency. Drawing attention to self is what the gloomy face is about. And the idea here is that the first failure of any fast is to draw attention to the self. And so by drawing this attention to themselves, by signifying that they're fasting, it ultimately works in a counterproductive way. The second thing he says is that they distort their faces so that they will be noticed by people when they are fasting. Now, there's a little bit of wordplay going on here that we lose in English, but if you were to read this story in the Greek in which it's written, the word there for face, they distort their faces so that they will be noticed. The word for noticed and faces sound exactly alike. And so the idea is that they distort their face so that people will see their face, in a sense, that they'll be noticed by people. The distortion of faces is kind of implies that they make these different facial expressions. And that's not exactly what that word means. Distort or disfigure might be a better way to put it, in that they would oftentimes on fasting days, they would rub ash all over their face. They would look disheveled. They would wear clothing that was dirty. And so they would try to draw attention to themselves. Not, the fast itself wasn't enough, but they were actually trying to draw people to looking at them. And what's, I think, so fascinating about this text is in verse 16, Jesus says that this tactic is perfectly successful. He says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So the notice that they're trying to get from people to, you know, see their gloomy face, they, you know, their dirty appearance, so that they're noticed, Jesus says they're totally successful. But the nuance he adds here is that they have the reward in full. That English translation doesn't quite do the Greek justice. It literally says that they have everything they're going to get out of their fasting. They get nothing more than that. They have their reward in full. So, if the goal was to impress others with their own piety, success. But is that actually the goal? It's a key passageway for us here, that vanity is the enemy of good piety. Jesus' warnings about almsgiving, prayer, and fasting are sober. These are not to be activities that are spectacles. There is a danger that oftentimes they inflate the ego to impress others, to advance social standing. Bragging or otherwise seeking the praise of others does work. You receive the praise of others. It has an immediate reward. But it does nothing then to deepen or sharpen our relationship with God. In this sense, the whole point of the fast and of prayer and even of almsgiving at that point is missed. The idea here is that when we allow our vanity either to be seen by others or to somehow persuade ourselves that we are pious, we already have our reward. There's something else that needs to drive us in these practices of piety like fasting, and Jesus is going to explain that for us because he should be at the very center of that activity. We turn to verses 17 and 18 in this text. And now Jesus moves from the prohibitive, in other words, telling them what not to do, to the affirmative. Now he's going to tell them what to do in verse 19. He says, but as for you, when you fast, notice again, it's not if you fast or should you fast. He says, but as for you, when you fast, there are some things that you need to be doing. First, there's deception involved. And that's not a way we typically like to hear it described, but it's accurate. The deception here is to not as much lie about fasting as much as we attempt to conceal the fact that we're fasting. Jesus says, anoint your head first. So this is to go above and beyond, like you're going out for a special feast or gathering. So it means to anoint your head means you've been washed, you're clean, you've bathed, your hair is arranged. You've anointed your head. In other words, you've applied some ointment or fragrance to your body. Get yourself in a state that you're actually going to be engaged with something. And he says, wash your face. And that's in direct contrast to the practice of the Pharisees. Remember what it said? They distort their faces. Jesus says, no, wash your face. And I'm going to go back to that distorting of faces. See how that's the hypocrite? The hypocrite is that they take their normal face and they distort it by putting another face on top of it, in a sense. They disfigure themselves. Whereas Jesus says, no. You anoint your head, clean your act up, wear clean clothes, bathe, everything, and wash your face so that there's nothing on it, that it's clean, that it's authentic, that what people see is really who you are. So it's not so much that we lie as much as we attempt to hide, we attempt to conceal the fact we're fasting so that no one will know that we're fasting. It's the opposite of vanity. Draw no attention to yourself. And then Jesus says that your fasting will not be noticed by people. All right, so we don't have to worry about that. But by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's a twofold secrecy here. The Father who sees in secret, in other words, the God that is seeing us the way no one else can see us, and that we ourselves practice that in secret. So that your fasting will not be noticed by people in verse 18, but by your Father who is in secret. See how the nature of the Father is in secret? And then he says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So there's a twofold piece here that God sees and God is. And that's the space we want to be in. That God is the, not so much the object of the fast, but God is the center of the fast. The idea of the fast is not so anyone sees it. It's that God can see it and encounter it. This is a key point of all of Jesus's teaching in this section. When almsgiving, give to others, but do it in secret. No one knows but God. When you're praying, go into a closet in secret and pray. No one knows you're praying but God. When you're fasting, ensure that no one has a clue you're fasting. No one knows but God. You see, fasting is not, the way Jesus explains it, as an action designed to impress God. It, in some ways, is an act where we restrain vanity. So we might ask ourselves, is the point of fasting to show God how dedicated we are, or is the point of fasting to restrain our vanity from trying to impress others and impress ourselves, and only to live for being in relationship and connection with God? The God who sees in secret always sees everything. So secrecy ensures to us that the act of fasting, the act of prayer, the act of almsgiving is for God alone and for the deepening of our relationship with God. That's a key passageway for us here, friends. That fasting triggers awareness of the secret and always present divine. So oftentimes, you know, I find today in the 21st century that people somehow believe that whatever fast they might be engaged in, that the point of the fast is to succeed at it. So that they say, well, during the 40 days of Lent, I'm not going to eat any chocolate. And so the goal isn't to eat any chocolate. And so they can get to Easter and say, look, I had 40 days of not eating any chocolate. The point of the fast isn't to succeed at it, I would suggest. Perhaps it's the exact opposite. Maybe by fasting, we force ourselves into reminder that there is a God in secret. In other words, a God that is always with us. So let's take, for example, again, fasting from food. Every time we think about food, every time we sense being hungry, or are even conscious of the fact that we're fasting, it's at that moment we need to learn how to be triggered to remember that the secret is real and that God is always with us. And along the way, it might remind us how much time, energy, and effort we put into eating food. But the point of fasting is not to be successful at it. It's not even to signal sacrificial commitment. It's in many ways, I won't say the opposite, but very different. Perhaps fasting is there to help signal our deepest need, our need for God as our sustenance. The secret food of God is what we really need more than anything else. And fasting is designed to help our heart reconnect with the idea that God alone is the one we truly need. That's so in keeping with what we read in the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 13, where he says, rend your hearts and not your garments. If you have comments or reflections, I'd love to hear from you. Please visit my website, revcraig.org, and you can click on news in the upper right-hand corner, and then the drop-down menu, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and then you can click on a specific episode and leave a comment. Also encourage you to visit our church's website, ffmc.org, firstfreemethodistchurch.org, to learn more about Free Methodism, our proud tradition as Free Methodists, of being abolitionists, of being those who have supported the rights of women and women in leadership in the church since our very beginning, and how you can connect with our unique and powerful expression of Christianity and with our community. It'd be exciting to be able to share that with you. For now, I bid you all grace. I thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next time.